0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on one of the season-defining weekends in Scottish football. Celtic have a treble in their sights after beating Rangers for the fourth time this season to reach the Scottish Cup final, where they'll play Inverness. It means a trophyless campaign for Rangers, with Michael Beale promising the biggest rebuild in years this summer. And the championship will go right to the wire, with 9 out of 10 teams still facing potential promotion or relegation, with just one game to go. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is Mark Wilson and Roger Hanna.
And after yesterday at Hampden, Gordon, there should be treble ahead for Ange Postecoglou. Celtic can clinch two in a row at Tynecastle this Sunday. They can win the Scottish Cup against Cali Thistle at Hampden on June 3. Jota was the match winner at Hampden yesterday, but another Old Firm defeat from Rangers. And the only advice for Michael Beale today is you need to get rid of those players before they get rid of you.
Yeah, it was quite a weekend, and finishing off with a game yesterday. And it could get even better for Celtic this week, as Roger said, goes to Tynecastle and can mathematically clinch the league. It was some afternoon, so lots to talk about. I'm sure the Rangers fans will have strong opinions and where they turn to from here on in.
0141 951 1025. Come on then, most of you have been off your work today. You've got the chance to kick back and reflect on a busy weekend of football, so why not share your thoughts with us tonight? Of course, looking back primarily on yesterday, the two sides of it, Celtic fans, you've got one eye on that, more than one eye, I suspect, on the treble. Of course, Inverness stand in your way. Well done to Inverness for getting there. So what did you make of yesterday? Can you see anything stopping this Ange Postecoglou juggernaut towards the treble? And Rangers fans, perhaps more probing questions for you, in the sense of where did it go wrong yesterday? Where is it going wrong overall? How do the club fix this? What players need to be moved on in the summer? All the usual questions after a game like yesterday. It's not the type of match we get over in just one night, I suspect. But let's get stuck in. 0141 951 1025. I was going to ask you to pick your result and your goal and your howler of the weekend. It's a bit limited options for you, of course, with a reduced card. You can give it a bash if you want. Somebody just going to pick Celtic and someone going to pick one from the Championship.
Result of the weekend. Listen, Celtic getting to the Scottish Cup final is the biggest game of the weekend. It's a game we've all been talking about. The chat before it, the gap is getting, you know, closer. There's not much between the teams. And yesterday in the 90 minutes, it probably showed that, but it did show that Celtic have many ways to win a game, not just by flamboyant attacking play. They also rely heavily on two outstanding centre-halves, and that was enough to earn my result of the weekend.
I'll need to go for Cali Thistle. Any Championship team that reaches the Scottish Cup final deserves a shout-out, particularly one that was knocked out of the competition earlier on in the season.
Absolutely.
To come through that scare against Queen's Park, to beat Livingston, to beat Kilmarnock, and now to beat Falkirk so convincingly, 3-0 at Hampden. It's a great achievement for Billy Dodge and his players. And I'll take you to 10-3 on Cup final day, when Billy Dodge demands silence in the Cali Thistle dressing room and plays Hugh Keevan's intro to the show on Saturday.
I think he's written them off. I've got a funny feeling. Is it all going to revolve around those games? Am I going to ask you howler and you're going to say Rangers defence?
I was going to specifically pick one of them, but you can't. Yeah, the howler of the weekend for me was probably the five players that surrounded the ball when Matt O'Reilly went down. And
you've limited it to five, okay.
Five, and stood there and watched and allowed Maeda to nick in. And then probably one of the worst at the back post, the captain, James Tavernier, not even seeing Jota come inside. So howler of the weekend goes to that, those five players in a Rangers jersey.
I need to go fashion Sakala. Missed a big chance in the cup final and missed a bigger chance yesterday after James Tavernier struck the post. We mentioned in the show on Friday, Rangers had been getting closer to Celtic in these fixtures. We spoke about the importance of it being clinical in both boxes. Mark's just pointed out they weren't clinical in their own box, and fashion Sakala certainly wasn't clinical in Celtic's box.
Main man of the weekend, Mark Wilson, who stands out for you?
He's got to be one of those centre-halves. Now, Starfelt I gave plenty of credit to. I thought he was outstanding, but he was just overshadowed by his partner, Cameron Carter-Vickers. Last game of the season for him, he made it clear to Ange Postecoglou that he wanted to play in that game, and, well, what a performance it was from him. Dealt with everything that came into his box, was strong against Morelos, didn't give anybody a look in. Outstanding performance from the Celtic centre-half.
I'll go for Billy Mackay.
Yes.
Those two goals for Carly Thistle at Hamden took him to the 100 goal landmark for the club. He is now just one behind Dennis Wyness in the all-time scoring charts for an Inverness Carly Thistle. And he better not get it against Ayr on Friday night.
Of course, the Ayrshire bias coming in. What about the Championship, Rick? I've got a funny feeling, call it a hunch, that we're going to spend most of this show dissecting what happened at Hampden yesterday. So please get your calls in, Celtic fans. How happy are you? What's good? What's great? What's going well about your team? And Rangers fans, it's sort of the opposite, isn't it? The post-mortem starts here. So 01419511025. Nine teams still don't know if they'll be going up or going down from the Championship this season, Roger. And there is one game to go.
Yeah, I watched a bit of Dundee Cove on Friday night, and I was trying to do all my arithmetic afterwards with my Ayrshire bias, and I thought, right, if Ayr can beat Raith, then that means they'll only need a point at Inverness next Friday. Inverness will all still be hungover after beating Falkirk in the cup, so it's looking really good. And then Morton go and beat Queen's Park on the Saturday, which means if Ayr get a point in Inverness, Morton can go past the two of them.
You've actually lost me already.
And they can get in fourth place in the playoffs. It's bonkers.
Well, I think the big story is obviously at the top, because who would have thought that it would have came down to the last game of the season against each other in a ground that isn't even a tribute to any of them.
That's a good point.
For the Championship, and a Queen's Park team who have came through the divisions, okay, money ploughed into them behind the scenes, and I just never thought I'd see the day that Queen's Park would be in the Premiership. Could be soon.
We'll find out. Plenty to look ahead to this week, but there's only one place to start, and that is Hampden Park yesterday. 0141 951 1025. Dave is a Rangers fan. Sum up how you felt about that game yesterday, Dave.
Well, I'm actually disgusted, to be honest. And see, after watching it, the manager, Beale, he has to look at himself in the mirror. Why was he playing Tavernier, Barisic, Lundstrom, Kent, Morales, who over the course have produced nothing almost in the last year and a half? Absolutely nothing. Now, Tavernier, as a fullback, is one of the worst we've had at Rangers. And if I'd been on the show last year, if I could get on the show last week, I would have said, do not play Tavernier. Play him further forward if you're playing him, because his stats further forward are great. But as a fullback, absolute nonsense. How long was Jota standing behind him for that cross to come over? You know, I mean, that is one of the basic errors. And Shikawa, he must be the worst finisher. The worst finisher the Rangers have had. You know, it was an open goal. I'll tell you who would have scored that goal.
Hugh Keevans.
He probably would have. The Chiak or Roof would have scored the goals if he'd been fit. You know, that's only two would have scored that. But he is the worst finisher that you can have in the books. I just want to know what the guy's thoughts are, because he should have had the young fullback, youngest playing yesterday. He should have. I would have had a younger fullback playing behind Tavernier, and I'd have probably played a back three.
Can you, Roger? We'll get into the sort of the details, because Dave makes a lot of interesting points. But straight away, he's disgusted at yesterday. It's a strong opening. Can you understand that? That depth of feeling?
Yeah, I think Rangers fans will be disgusted. The team has gone backwards in the last 12 months. 12 months ago, they were about to win a Scottish Cup. They had just beaten Celtic in a semi-final. They went on to beat Hearts in the final. They reached a European final. Since then, they have the worst record in Champions League history. They've lost four games to Celtic and drawn one. They are already out of the title race. Celtic will clinch a title at Tynecastle on Sunday. They have got rid of a manager, they've changed chairman, they've lost a sporting director, they're about to swap a managing director for a chief executive. They have eight players coming out of contract, they have another half dozen or so who can't seem to get into the team and would probably be sold at the drop of a hat. And in the middle of it all, and I know Dave isn't very happy with the manager, trying to keep this all together is Michael Beale. This is one of the biggest summers in the modern history of Rangers Football Club, because if they don't get closer to Ange Postecoglou's Celtic, then Dave might be disgusted for some period of time to come.
Dave, you said the manager needs to look at himself. Where's the balance of blame here? Because how much of it is it realistic that Michael Beale can pick other people, and how much of it is that these players are now underperforming far too often for you?
Oh, they're definitely underperforming, and he is responsible. Why is Morelos back in the team? Now, he should have been shown the door over a year ago. Kent, another one, shown the door over a year ago. Now, he has to know when he's looking at that team that Tavernier gets caught all the time. And I think I was on twice in Scoreboard a good number of months ago, and both times I said that Tavernier was the one that's going to get skinned every time, because Celtic are your fast boys forward. And see, they're running things. Celtic haven't played well in the last three games against Rangers, but they're still better than we are.
Mark, James Tavernier clearly had his own part to play yesterday, for sure. How would you assess it? Is he the main issue for Rangers in your mind at the moment?
No, I don't think so. I think I would agree with Dave. Some of the goals against Celtic, in particular this season, James Tavernier, yeah, has to take his share of the blame, and particularly yesterday. It's pretty stark right in front of you. But he's certainly not the main problem at Rangers just now. Now, a couple of the players that Dave did mention, Morelos and Kent, I think are the main problems. And the problem we've got is that Michael Beale really, you know, relied on them. He really backed these guys. He's gave them every opportunity. And yesterday was their last opportunity. It's worrying, the performance levels that those two put in. And I said yesterday that they let their manager down, but they let the full fan base down, and they let the other guys that were on the pitch down as well. Just with their performance and attitude, it looked like they were disinterested. And that's the most damning thing to say. You know, okay, the league's gone, but you've got a chance to get your team to a cup final and start the kind of rebuild by beating Celtic, and to put in performances like those two did, I thought was shocking.
As a side note, are you trying to attract interest from other clubs if you're leaving
anyway? You must be.
Roger, Dave's sort of general point comes down to, who are you blaming here? Michael Beale for picking these players, or these players for playing like that? Because I know it sounds easy to say 1, 2, 3, 4, rhyme off 7, you know, they shouldn't have played. But realistically, is there anyone else there that would come in and do better?
No, and that's part of the problem for Rangers. Part of the problem is that, you know, he touched upon Antonio Čolak and Kemar Roofe. They're just not fit. Kemar Roofe has hardly been fit to kick a ball at any stage of the season. Tom Lawrence has hardly been fit to kick a ball at any stage of the season. So these are guys on big money who really haven't been available to Michael Ball. The last time Rangers beat Celtic, I don't know if you can remember that far back, goal was scored by a guy called Philip Hylander. You know, highly paid, hasn't been able to kick a ball for Michael Beale in all his time at a football club. There are guys in the bench yesterday. Now, young Yilmaz was thrown on near the end, so was Robbie Matondo. But when you look at that Rangers bench, there's not too many who started in the bench. You could say it 25 past one yesterday, I'll tell you what, he should be in the team rather than the other guy. And the only reason Alfredo Morelos started the game is there wasn't an alternative to Alfredo Morelos. What were you going to do? Throw Fashion Sakala up at centre forward to miss the kind of chance that Fashion Sakala missed when the ball came back off the post? So Morelos is gone as a Rangers player. The 100 odd goals he's scored, the European scoring record, that will go down. People will look back in years, 20 years to come, and say, he must have done okay for a while. But it's been a while since he's done okay, and he will be one of many showing the door in the summer.
Dave, how did you feel? I mean, you're going to have to keep this clean here. How did you feel when you saw the defending for the goal that separated the teams yesterday?
Oh, no, I said, well, here we go again, you know, because if it wasn't Suter making a mistake, if it wasn't Davis making a mistake, if it wasn't Tavernier making a mistake, you know, do you know the one that I feel sorry for? Alan McGregor, you know, a legend at the club, one of the great goalkeepers that we've had, and he stands and sees what's in front of him. You know, because it was always winning. And what happens to Barisic? You know, he's playing for a Croatian team that made the semi-final of the World Cup. And where's his form gone? You know, he passes across the way. He passes back the way. You get the odd cross into the box, but that's it. You know, and it's, you know what annoys me? If it's a lack of effort. The lack of effort. They go out as if they're beat before they even start. You know, they've turned into...
Dave, how many would you keep?
Many would
you
keep?
Yeah, many would you keep? If Michael Beale is doing this rebuild or revamp or whatever word he wants to choose, How many of that squad from yesterday would you keep for next season?
Four at the most. Four at the most.
It's not very many. I mean, Dave Ryan sort of talks about the predictability of it, because Rangers have been soft defensively in these head-to-heads all season, Mark, but it felt like yesterday there was something worse about that one. Because, like, you know, take John Souter, for example. You see short back passes happen all the time. It's not great, but, you know, it can just happen, and you can get that one. I just don't remember too many times at this level where, like, five people all sort of stare at each other, and they don't really know what they're waiting for, because it wouldn't even have been a free kick to Rangers anyway. It would have been Celtic.
Doesn't happen.
Now you've seen it back with a bit more clarity. How do you sum it up?
It's quite remarkable watching it, and I've now saw the kind of freeze frame pictures of it as well, and that makes it look even worse, because you see how many players are there facing the ball, and Maeda isn't even in the picture, and he's the one alive. So quite remarkable. I think you're right, Gordon. You look at a lot of the goals that Rangers have conceded against Celtic this season, and you could say there's a mistake there, or Barisic is too wide and he's let people come inside him. But yesterday, you'll struggle to see another goal conceded like that in the league all year, or anywhere else all year, because it was so unforgivable from a defensive point of view. It was crazy.
You trace it even back, Roger, I suppose, the free kick. What was the fixture? Was it the Celtic Park one?
Yeah, the Matt O'Reilly one.
Yeah, that's the start of this season.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah. This feels like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Everybody kept phoning this show and going, you know, Celtic play quickly. That's literally like the motto. They know when it's a free kick, they're going to get their hand on it and do it quickly. Yesterday, it was as if, you know, this was the worst example, I suppose, of Rangers not handling that.
Yeah, and we spoke on Friday in advance of the game, and I think Kenny Miller was suggesting throw in Scott Arfield or do something different. Dave, the caller there, saying they should have played three at the back. Rangers are continually losing games to Celtic, and every time a Rangers team comes out before the game, it's more or less the same team in the same formation with the same personnel. And there was no change again yesterday. And is that not the definition of madness? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results?
See, at the same time, though,
was the same defensive mistake.
I think they're good enough, though. Just ultimately, are the players good enough?
No, that's the point I'm going to make. That's what I was building up to. It's not just the defensive mistake, bad though it is. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that, again, Ryan Kent makes no impact in the game. Alfredo Morelos makes no impact in the game. Malik Tillman, before he went off, made no impact on the game. And these are the things that someone at Rangers is eventually going to have to spot, and then before they play Celtic again, say, right, we're going to need to change something here, boys.
Thank you very much to Dave. It's 01419511025. Dave was disgusted. How are you feeling about yesterday? Let us know.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The dust never truly settles on a game like yesterday, but we're looking back on all the big talking points from Hampden. So join in if you can. 01419511025. Jim's in Kilmarnock. How would you sum it up, Jim? The first Rangers caller said he was disgusted. Are you as strong as that, or have you calmed down a bit?
I've calmed down a wee bit. Good thing I didn't phone in last night, right enough. Yeah, it was disappointing. It was effortless for some of the players, but the defending, I've heard he's covering it so far, and it was your habit playing Tav. When you watch the game back, I actually just noticed it this morning, and I was watching it. Tav actually points to Jota and then runs away and leaves him, and just leaves him himself again. I don't know why he's done that, but my point wasn't about really any of the bad defending. What my concerns are about the manager. To be honest, I didn't want to be one in the beginning. He's not done anything to change my mind. We've played two. I'd say he's managed roughly approximately 20 games or something like that. We've had two decent performances. We're further behind Celtic than we were when Gio came in. We've lost a final, and we've lost a semi-final. And I know he's got to get his own players in. But when you look over at Aberdeen, and you look at Motherwell, they've brought two managers in, and they're working with the same players as well, and they're getting a tune out of them. I don't feel Michael Beale's getting that for the players. And that's a worry for me getting into next season. Is he failing to motivate them? Is it his tactics? Or is it his substitutions? Or is it the way he's coming across in training and the players are not playing for him? I'm just concerned that Rangers have went for a manager that had managed QPR for 21 games
and one of many as he had lost and drew. And I just, that's really my concerns. I don't see any improvement. You usually get the kick out of the players when a new manager comes in. And any walk of life, you get a new boss and everybody's tails wagging and they're all trying hard to impress him. That isn't happening at Rangers, and that's a worry for me. The players just don't know. It's just his substitution sometimes seem a bit late. He's like, everything's out to the left and the right. If we can't get the ball out to the left and the right, we lose it. We lose possession. There seems to be no plan B. It's just like watching, going back to the Matt Warburton team. I don't see any difference for what happened 4, 5, 6 years ago, or whatever, when Warburton was there. It's just everything's out to the left or right. To have a ball and all cross in to one guy in the box who's surrounded by three or four defenders.
Mark, is some of that criticism fair?
I think that's a legitimate argument there. I think Jim's onto something. When Michael Beale came in, we all knew what the players thought of him, who were there before. Terrific coach, great in the training ground. And we all kind of spoke about how different it is as a manager, but he was brought to improve the team first and foremost. Now, the argument then against that would be the run of results in the league was certainly better than what Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was getting out of that team. So he picked up in that respect, but there was still, there were still problems. They're still conceding a lot of goals, even in those early periods. But against Celtic, it's all about next season and the rebuild next season. I think Jim's right. You look at other managers who have come in and improved individual players and improved the team. And I'm not quite sure, if you look individually through those players, who Michael Beale has really improved.
What do you think, Roger? I mean, he's still, apart from the Aberdeen game, obviously, apart from that, it's only Celtic. Not lost to anyone else, not even dropped points to anyone else apart from Celtic. Does that tell you Michael Beale has come in and had a positive impact, or do you buy into Jim's criticism that there's actually not been that big a bounce there, and I'm not seeing good performances, and I'm not seeing any individuals that are actually improved under the new manager?
Yeah, listen, we'll play devil's advocate for a minute. The two signings he's brought in, I think, are better than what was there before them. I'm not going to say they're world beaters, either Cantwell or Raskin, but they're better than what was there already. So that would indicate that he's maybe got an eye for a player. We're talking about not, you know, Jim's complaint is he's not improving these players, he's not getting a tune out of these players. I think part of the problem is, Jim, a lot of these players have been there too long, and a lot of these players are looking elsewhere. Morelos, he'll go in the summer. Kent looks as if he'll go in the summer. McGregor, probably retire in the summer, as will Stephen Davis. Doesn't look as if Arfield or Hellander will get a new deal at all. Malik Tillman, would you pay £5 million for somebody to score two at home to Dundee United? I'm not sure you would. Ryan Jacks, the other out-of-contract player, injury problems, out the team again, missed yesterday. Michael Beale, he's not been able to rotate it as much as he would like. We spoke earlier on, Colak injured, Roof injured, Lawrence injured. Would you turn to Scott Wright or Robbie Matondo? Probably not. Would you turn to Yanis Hadji? Probably not. So I think the manager has had one hand tied behind his back, but you mentioned Motherwell there. We are in the era of clubs having three managers in a season. Motherwell have had three, Chelsea, Tottenham, Southampton have had three managers. Well, coming into the studio tonight, Jim, Mark Wilson tells me Jody Morris sacked after 18 games at Swindon for not improving their players. So Michael Beale, for me, should get this big long summer window to bring in Michael Beale's players, to make it Michael Beale's Rangers team. But then it's on him from the start of next season.
What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, I totally agree. He's got to get the summer and let the guy bring his own players in. But it's a wee bit worrying just now. And I know what the boys are saying there about players are out of contract and stuff like that. But surely in any walk of life, if you want a decent move, or you're about to move on to a good job, or move up the ladder, you've got to perform at the job that you're doing just now. So why can you even get them playing just now? If they're looking for moves and stuff, surely teams are watching them. Would you not be out there trying? I don't know why a player wouldn't try at a professional football level. I find that really difficult to believe how somebody at that level is down tools and thought, I'm moving here anyway. Surely at a football level they don't do that.
I mean, Ryan Kent would be an interesting example, specifically because there was a lot made about this special relationship with Michael Beale. Michael Beale spoke many times about having known him since he was young, and I think those comments were made in the, firstly, in the context of actually it being such a strong relationship that he stays and that he signs a new contract and that he's a Rangers player for a long time. Never mind, can you get a little bit of a tune out of him for a couple of months between now and the end of the season?
Yeah, so that is the concern that Jim's on about. I mean, if anybody, you would think that Ryan Kent would be the one that would spark into life. Now, I think you saw a wee bit of a spark from Ryan Kent when Michael Beale came in, but it quickly faded, and it was just reverted back to the same performances he was churning out under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Apart from the European games last season, and that seemed to be a stage that he really came alive and he played some of his best stuff, Ryan Kent for a long time has been a passenger for Rangers. Okay, the argument was he attracts one or two defenders to him that creates other space, but you need to be more than that. When you're a winger, you're signed for £7 million and there's so much expectation and you're touted for going for millions, you need to deliver more often than him. And Michael Beale hung his hat on Kent and Morelos, I think, too many times. I made the argument way before this game that I thought maybe Ryan Kent should have sat on the bench in this one and been brought on as an impact player, maybe just to give him a wee jab to say, look, you're not a certain starter, and to give the team a lift when he comes on. And I think Morelos should have been the same, but he chose to play him. Same outcome, Kent off after 45 minutes. So although that's at the player's feet, manager has to take responsibility for that as well. He's put his trust, he's got other players. I know what Roger's saying, what do? You put Sakala through there? I think you would have got more out of Sakala leading the line. Okay, he might have missed the chance, but he would have at least ran about.
I'll be fascinated to see what he does now, Mark, because the season's over for Rangers. There's five games left. By the time they kick off against Aberdeen on Sunday, Celtic could well be ahead at Tynecastle and have 99% of that league title in the bag. So does he now look at, for argument's sake, Robbie McCrory in goal for five games? Does he look at Ridvan Yilmaz for the five games instead of Barisic? Does he try Suter and Goldson, which for an hour was right at the very start of the season was his preferred pairing for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst before Suter's injury problems? Does he throw in, does he try and see what Robbie Matondo's like for five games? Does he try and see if Yanis Hadji can rediscover the form of before the cruciate in these last five games of the season? Does he try Sakala through the middle?
But he's got to try something different. Am I the only one that thinks Matondo has looked all right when he's come on the last couple of games?
I know he's been injured, hasn't he? He's not necessarily been as available as the rest, I don't
think.
But
he's still been in.
But he was available yesterday available. And Kent get it not
sure,
ahead of him.
Yeah. Oh, yesterday, of course, yeah.
And even when he came on at Pittodrie, that's why I thought, I know it was only a cameo at Pittodrie, but I thought, well, there's a bit of life about him. He looks direct. He looks like he can cause defenders problems. Yet you still go to Ryan Kent because he's trading on past glories. Oh, he did this a couple of years ago against Celtic, so we'll put him in again. If I'm sitting on that Rangers bench, I'm thinking, well, like Roger's saying, if I'm not getting a chance these last five games, then contact my agent. I'm out of here also in the summer.
On a personal level, there's something sad about it, because Morelos and Kent have been very good players for Rangers. They've won a league title, they've won a Scottish Cup, they've beaten to help Rangers to a European final. Morelos has set goal scoring records. Kent was a darling of the Rangers fans, and they're going out of the football club with a whimper.
Yeah, well, that is a concern. I mean, last season, maybe two seasons ago, we were chatting about how much these players were going for. The argument, the debate about who would go for most, would it be Edward, would it be Morelos? Now this guy's walking out the door. He's walking around the pitch, actually, never mind walking out the door just now, walking around the pitch, Rangers fans saying, how can professional footballers not put in the effort? I think that's the most damning thing. And he has to carry that over now to another club. No doubt he will get another club and he'll get paid handsomely. But he could have been so much more for Rangers. He could have actually... He's done his bit in the pitch with goal scoring. He could have done his bit by getting Rangers a large sum of money. And he's failed in that.
Well, I'm in all sorts of trouble from Hugh Moan and Stephen Barnes and others saying that Aberdeen beat Rangers last week. I genuinely thought I mentioned Aberdeen when I said I did.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well, that's great, because Hugh Moan says, can I have the SSB hosting gig? Well, no, Hugh Moan, because it appears you have to be able to listen a bit more effectively now that Roger's backed me up. But if Roger's wrong, I take it back and I'm really sorry and I just misspoke. But of course, I think I remembered Aberdeen had beaten Rangers last week. And apart from that, it was only Celtic. And we were just wondering if that changed Jim's take on how things had been. What about Justin, who's a Rangers fan? On Justin, what do you think?
The last couple of calls and the last couple of comments, I'm getting bewildered by. I've been listening to the show for a wee bit, guys, And I don't know if I'm the only one, and it's sounding like I am, but I don't know what game a lot of people were watching yesterday. I've got to be honest. There's a couple of points I'd like to make, and for once I'm in total disagreement with Mark and Roger, totally, which is unusual for me. Rangers yesterday were missing two things for me. One, we haven't got somebody that can finish, and for whatever reason, Morelos, Kent, Sakala, they aren't at the races anymore. That's been blatantly obvious for a few months now, right? We're no scoring goals. Kent, from a finishing point of view, is either one or two things. It's either Rose Ed or it's in the top corner. He doesn't score tap-ins. He's no like a Jota will sneak into the back post and get a header or anything like that. He scores two types of goals. Outside the box, running across the edge and cracking into the top corner, or it ends up in Rose Ed. That's Kent's finishing. If he was able to finish the way perhaps the likes of Jota or anybody else, he wouldn't be a £7 million player. He'd be a £20 million player and they wouldn't be Rangers in the first place. But we're struggling to finish. Defensively, we're struggling with decisions. There's a distinct lack of confidence at the back. I felt sorry for Kent yesterday because he looked deflated. He looked absolutely dead in the water for the first 5-10 minutes. Everything he tried to do, every time he touched the ball, it bounced off him. You have games like that. People have games like that. And unfortunately, he's had a few games like that. So I think it's a bit unfair because these are the same players, like you guys mentioned, that took us to a European final. No, it's a distant future, the distant past ago.
Do you think it is just a few games like that, though, Justin? It feels like your fellow Rangers fans are now at the stage where they believe it to be more than a few games where Ryan Kent isn't quite having things go his way.
But with the greatest of respect, if you put that amount of pressure on two players to deliver everything for you, I don't think that's fair. We've got eight players that are out of contract at the end of the season. The vast majority, I'd be surprised if Mark and Roger don't agree with me, the vast majority of them, as far as they'll be concerned themselves, don't have a future at the club. They know that vast majority are going to be going out the door. Hadji is just, who's probably the only one on the bench there that's got the quality to deliver something, has been injured for the best part of a year. He's not kicked a ball for the best part of a year. But for me, one of the things I was wanting to come on and talk about is the game yesterday. For me, the two best players on the park yesterday by a country mile were Cantwell and Carter Vickers. I think if people have forgot yesterday that Carter Vickers got man of the match. So Celtic centre-half get man of the match. That kind of would tell you that Rangers, as an attacking format, were pretty decent. I thought they, for the large parts of the game, they actually looked the more likely to score the vast majority of the time. The only difference was we couldn't finish the chances we had. That's been an ongoing issue for Rangers. And we make stupid mistakes at the back. Celtic don't. Celtic, if they get a chance, they've got people that can finish it. Whether it be Hatate, whether it be Jota, whether it be, you know, there's a number of players who chip in with a goal. Rangers don't have that now. There's too much pressure on the likes of Kent, the likes of Morelos, who, yeah, looks as if he's down tools. But Cantwell and stuff like that, there's too much pressure on individual players.
But let me put that to the guys, Justin, because we've covered some interesting ground. I think, in a nutshell, Justin's saying overreaction wasn't that bad yesterday. I think, is to sum up.
No, listen, I thought the game was pretty evenly balanced the first half. I thought Celtic probably just edged it, looked more dangerous. I don't think there's any doubt that Rangers were the stronger side in the second half. And, you know, Justin saying, you know, Carter Vickers got man of the match because shows you how good he must have been and the chances that Rangers had. I can only really remember Tavernier hitting the post and Sakala then should have scored. No doubt about that. Don't remember many other clear-cut chances. Now, yes, Carter Vickers defended his box very well, because what was happening? Ball goes out to Tavernier, swings it in, heads it away. Ball goes out to Barisic, swings it in, heads it away. That was the power of his defence. Don't remember too many other chances, but in terms of territory, possession, no doubt about it, second 45 minutes when Beale changed tactics, it worked for Rangers and Celtic struggled to get out.
If you look in isolation at the 90 minutes yesterday, without knowing anything else that's gone before it, Gordon, then you could be inclined to agree with Justin and say Rangers made a mistake in the first half, Celtic scored a goal, Rangers had lots of territory, lots of possession, lots of crosses, Lots of half chances in the second half. Celtic defended brilliantly. Rangers just couldn't score. Rangers hit the post. Sakala's missed a rebound. And it was really, really close. But I think you owe it to yourself to look at the bigger picture. The last nine meetings, Celtic have won six. There's been two draws. And Rangers won last year's semi-final in extra time with an own goal. Rangers continue to make the same mistakes against Celtic to lose goals, and they continue to not carry enough of a threat against Celtic at the other end. So if you just look at yesterday's game in isolation and don't do anything other than that, then, yep, you can see where Justin's coming from. But I think more Rangers fans are now of an opinion that yesterday's game is being rerun and rerun and rerun every time this fixture takes place.
Is that not what's happening here, Justin?
I don't disagree with that. I genuinely don't disagree with that. But if you look at those nine games that Roger's talking about, from those nine games, Morelos has been the focus of Rangers' attack. Kent has been the go-to to deliver that for him. Everything else that's round about those two, until probably this season, and even maybe the last 6 months when you're bringing in the likes of Cantwell, when you've relied on Hadji for the last couple of seasons with certain things. He was the next one to deliver. The start of the season, you had Lawrence that was getting brought in. I know, again, injury. With those kind of things, that's why I think the pressure on Morelos and Kent is too much. Kolak delivered at the start of the season and then disappeared off the face of the earth and looks as if he's running with a coat hanger on his jacket now when he's playing. So that's why I understand why Beale goes back to Morelos and goes back to Kent, because that's what he's had to rely on consistently for those nine games.
And you're not be able to thrive, you know, under this though, Justin, at these clubs and in this environment. Is that not the point? I mean, there's pressure on Kyogo to deliver, but then he just does it, you know. And is that not? It seems strange that we would sort of say, oh no, it's a shame for Kent and Morelos, because actually they're having to carry the can and they've not been able to do it. What's a shame about it?
Well, all I mean is, if you look at what you were Mark was talking about, Edward and Morelos. Edward went down to Crystal Palace and hardly kicked his own backside. He kind of got a game off the bench.
Justin, that wasn't the point I was making. I'm not talking about Edward just now. I'm talking about the comparisons at the time here. They were two of the top strikers, two of the most saleable assets at a club. One went for money, one's hung about and regressed, badly regressed, and going to leave for nothing.
I don't mind a bit of sympathy, because it's nice to have everyone's different opinions and come at it from all angles, Roger, but I don't think there'll be too many out there like Justin who feel Ryan Kent and Alfredo Morelos deserve a bit of slack. It just doesn't seem like that's what's happening.
No, I would agree with that. They were poor again yesterday. Ryan Kent left the field at half time, didn't come back on. Morelos just didn't carry enough of a threat to Carter Vickers or Stanfield again in the fixture. Michael Beale more or less said that'll be the last time you see them at Hampden in the Rangers jersey. Be interesting to see how many minutes they get between now and the end of the season, whether he does look towards players that he may be able to utilise next season, along with the ones he's going to bring in the summer. Well, there is more game time for the guys we mentioned earlier, Yilmaz, Matondo, players like that, even some of the youngsters, because Rangers season's over.
You'll agree to disagree with these two, Justin. That's fine, that's why we're here, and you can join us next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Roger Hannah are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB, if you want to get in touch. Let's go back to the phones and speak to Willie, who's a Celtic fan, as is often the case. Willie, a lot of attention gets paid to the team that didn't get it right and what they need to do. What about your own team then? What praise would you give them?
Well, I've not got any praise for them at the moment, because we've not came out of second gear the last three times we've played Rangers. I know we're winning, I'll take that all day long, but I don't think we've come out of second gear the last three games, and it's not good enough.
That's a good sign, though, is it not? And you can sort of do that.
Yeah, we're winning. I know we're winning. I'll take it all day long. Yesterday, I said I'll take another Julian goal, and that's what's happened. And we should be playing a lot better.
You know you're the dominant side, Mark, when you're angry that it's not 3 and 4 and 5.
Yeah.
I mean,
harsh man, Willie.
the head-to-head record's been very good this
yeah,
season.
Yeah, very good. Well, he's got a point that Celtic haven't been great in, what, three or four of their last games, but they're still getting the job done. I think the standards that the Celtic side have set for themselves and the entertainment value that when fans like Willie go along, they expect it every single week. Very difficult to do it every single week, especially against, let's be honest, Rangers, better opposition than the rest of the league. So it is going to be tougher. Michael Beale's had plenty of time to try and mastermind, you know, a formation, a shape, personnel to stop Celtic playing. So you need to take things like that into consideration. But the most important thing is to get the job done. And it's not always going to be sparkling football where it's going to be 4 and 5 nil against Rangers. I think take what you can get. It's not to say that Willie's wrong. Of course, they want to see, you know, the best performance from the team he supports, but it's not always going to be that way.
Willie, 33 league games, 30 wins, 2 draws, 103 goals, the Viaplay Cup already in the trophy cabinet, the Scottish Cup final to look forward to against Inverness. Your team will likely win the league at Tynecastle on Sunday. You might be the only man in Scotland with higher standards than Hugh Keevans.
No. They just want to see their team playing well. I just want to see my team playing well. Just another wee point, lads. Now, you see the tackle on Kyogo, the Lewisham, do you know I think that was a drew a card for that?
Look, and I said yesterday, a couple of weeks, we spoke about Jago and Shinny in the fall through. Thought it was a robust tackle, but I did think it was probably the right decision. I get why it's a talking point because what's happened in the last couple of weeks, but I thought that was in between those two. I think it was the right decision.
Don Robertson seems to have been getting quite a lot of plaudits for his performance yesterday. Thrown in at the last minute, Old Firm debut, big occasion for him as well. Seems to have come out with his reputation enhanced.
It's a very small point, right, and it will get blown apart, I'm sure, in the next couple of meetings. But I feel like we do need to stop telling ourselves that it's going to be this big catastrophic VAR drama when these sides meet, because see, actually this season they've been pretty tame on the talking points by our standards. I know, like, you know, the Conor Goldson alleged handball, and everyone had a lot to say about that. But genuinely, they've met five times this season, and we've now got VAR. And I know I'm setting up for the next one. You're going to run this one back.
Celtic Inverness at Hampden. There's never been any dodgy decisions in a Celtic Inverness game at Hampden, is there?
Not that I can think of.
I don't think we've anything to worry about with the cup final in the 3rd of June.
Thanks to Willie. Thomas is also a Celtic fan. What's pleasing you about this team at the moment, Thomas?
I'm just basically going to run a couple of numbers passes. I don't know if any of you have seen the numbers about Kent and Morelos the last couple of days. They've played 44 derbies between them and they've scored 6 goals. Have you seen this?
I think I saw something about that today. Yeah.
And Kyogo and Jota have got 8 goals this season. Now, a couple of years ago there when Ryan Kent kind of burst onto the scene at Rangers, and there was rumours going about that Messi was wearing Ryan Kent's pyjamas. I don't know if you remember this. Do you think the penny's finally dropped with the Rangers fans here that Ryan Kent and Morelos will not go down in history as good players for them? Because ultimately, you know yourself, every player that's played for Rangers in certain years, you're basically judged on what you do against the other side of the city. They've not done it. Mm. They've basically not done it. They've been absolutely honking, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, Celtic's front three, to make it a nice rounder number, if you add Abada to that, and I know they were in one game, Abada, Jota, Kyogo have got 10 goals against Rangers this season alone.
Yeah, I think Wally slightly has. Morelos has scored 100 odd goals for Rangers.
Thomas,
I was doing my last note. Thomas is quite harsh. Rangers record European scorer, etc. etc. We said earlier on, but without doubt, Morelos and Kent are leaving Glasgow with the merest of whimpers. I said in the show last week, Thomas, I've voted for Kyogo as player of the year. Not just for the 29 goals, but for the fact that so many of his goals are in big games. It reminds me, not in terms of style or anything, but it reminds me a bit of Moussa Dembele, who, when Celtic needed him, always turned up with goals in big games. Kyogo has done that for Celtic this season. 2 in the League Cup final for the second successive season. The equaliser at Ibrox, and about the only time this season when Celtic actually did look worried by Rangers. And then, you know, a couple again at Celtic Park. He undoubtedly, in a very dangerous front line, is the biggest goal-scoring threat of all. And I think that, you're quite right, what separates the good strikers, from the very, very good strikers, is who they score their goals against. And when Kyogo turns up and scores in the big games, that shows he's a very, very good striker.
Yeah, the output from Celtic's attacking players in this fixture, since that's what we're mostly talking about tonight, Mark, can't argue with it.
No, certainly not. And they don't rely on Kyogo solely. You're right in highlighting that. Jota seems to love this fixture. Abada seems to love playing against Barisic because he gets inside him quite a lot. So they can turn to any one of those. But Roger's right in highlighting Kyogo. In the big games, he often steps up. And over the course of their time at Rangers, Morelos and Kent haven't. And look, to go back to Justin's point, there should be somebody else pitching in when Morelos and Kent haven't stepped up. Unfortunately for Rangers, there hasn't been.
Thank you, Thomas. It's that time already. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. It's a new week on Beat the Pundit. The Pundit's just edged it last week, but it was end-to-end stuff. A dramatic last-minute winner by Kenny Miller on Friday. If you want to play tonight, it's 0141 951 1025, and you need to get your calls in before 7 o'clock. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Mark Wilson are here. There are absolutely no prizes for guessing what the main topic of conversation is tonight. It is a certain Scottish Cup semi-final from yesterday and all the fallout from it. We've not even heard from the managers yet. We've made it an entire hour and they've actually got some really interesting things to say. So I'll do that soon. Get your calls in and we'll play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Everyone's got 2 minutes in their night to just spare for some light entertainment in the form of Beat the Pundit. I do wonder though, Mark Wilson, you're used to playing alongside one of our real intellectual powerhouses when it comes to football knowledge in Gordon Dalziel. You're slumming it with Roger Hanna tonight. I just wonder if that, how that feels.
I think he'll get by. He's got a lot to do, you know, stand up to the Dazzler's knowledge.
And yeah, are the rumours true? Because as he left after we revealed at the weekend, he's now a famous pop music video star. He's a DJ for hire. Is he gone?
When I heard there was a sellout at the Pavilion Festival, there'd be DJs at air at the weekend, I was actually stunned to find it was Ewan McVicar that was headlining it, and not DJ Daz.
Incredible.
Well, he's looking to do more. He did say that.
He said he wants to get into acting,
as quoted, so he can never take that back.
Was that his own hat and shades?
I think almost certainly.
Were they props?
Nah, I think certainly. Yeah,
okay. And chain.
Yeah. Okay. The chain size. I've seen him wear that in here.
For sure. Anyway, Billy is in Newcastle. How's it going, Billy?
I'm pretty good, yeah.
Good man. Good weekend for you. It says on my magic screen you're a Celtic fan. I suppose you're delighted with what you saw.
Aye, I was absolutely over the moon.
Well, what a weekend. Billy's going to have watched his team get into the final, beating the rivals, maybe beating one of you two at Beat the Pundit. It's all there. So let's see. Heads, it's Roger. Tails, it's Mark. And it is tails. It's Mark against
Roger. Good luck, Billy.
Roger.
Good luck.
Against Billy, sorry.
Ban a few words, Billy.
He's keeping it, saving it. He's saving it for Beat the Pundit.
Okay.
Do you think your colleague will be listening? Your best friend?
Of course
in the
he
world?
Will. Hopefully in the bath. That's what I like to imagine him.
Sorry. Said no
that's
one.
That's
ever.
How close we are.
Was Wednesday not bath night?
Aye, he does only have one bath a week.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Right.
Anyway, right, let's see what you've got. We'll give Mark Wilson some greatest hits radio to listen to. Billy, 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Time starts now. Name any Celtic player who joined from another Scottish club.
David Turnbull.
Who made more league appearances for Rangers, Amad Diallo or Aaron Ramsey?
Aaron Ramsey.
Name either scorer for Inverness against Falkirk on Saturday.
Billy Mackay.
Who joined Watford from Hibs in January?
Ryan Porteous.
How many current Scottish Premiership sides has Barry Robson played for?
Two.
Which Scottish League One team play their home games at Balmore Stadium?
Pass.
Okay. Mark Wilson, can you hear us?
I thought Roger had fell asleep there. I turned round to see him sitting in his seat, eyes
he likes
shut
to close
but
his
that's
eyes.
The apparently that's the way you do it, is it?
Well,
I mean, Beat the Pundit. Just to clear that up there.
Between that line and Daz in the bath, things are taking a worrying change of direction.
There are two possibilities here, right? Roger Hanna does indeed sometimes close his eyes for maximum concentration when he's performing at Beat the Pundit.
Okay.
but he was also away up north at a wedding this weekend. And I wonder if he just needed a rest.
That was my fear. Are you flagging? That we'd lost him then.
I think both may be true. Pass on my best to the bride and groom, Andy and Yvonne.
Do you need a water and some paracetamol?
No, we're fine. No, we are better at we're better at 7:05 this evening than we were at 7:05 this morning.
Glad to hear.
Let's put it that way.
Mark Wilson, are you ready?
Right, go for it.
Beat the pundit. Your time starts now. Name any Celtic player who joined from another Scottish club.
Greg Taylor.
Who made more league appearances for Rangers, Amad Diallo or Aaron Ramsey?
Diallo.
Name either scorer for Inverness against Falkirk on Saturday.
Mackay.
Who joined Watford from Hibs in January?
Oh, Portis.
How many current Scottish Premiership sides has Barry Robson played for?
Three.
Which Scottish League One team play their home games at Balmoor Stadium?
Peterhead.
Who are the only British side in the Champions League semis?
Man City.
And what year did Celtic last play Inverness in the Scottish Cup?
2016. You mentioned that as well. Is
okay,
that right?
Okay. No. Billy, how did it go?
Nah, he's 100% beat us.
That's not good.
That's what I like to hear.
Do
Billy,
you know what?
100%.
Well, I thought Billy was all right, but you just got a good number of questions more. So you've got. You had the choice, really. Turnbull, who Billy said that was the real right answer here. Greg Taylor, Benjamin Segrist, and Scott Bain.
Okay. Oh,
so one all. 50-50 in the next one. Not a great deal in it, but Billy, he's pipped you. Amad Diallo had three more appearances for Rangers.
Had I got that wrong?
Would you? Yeah.
Nah,
started earlier, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, Darren Ramsey will take a few weeks to come into the
team. That's right, Ramsey.
Anyway, you both got Billy Mackay as well, so it's a good game. 3-2 at this point. You both got Ryan Porteous, 4-3.
Well done, Billy.
Barry Robson's played for Celtic, Aberdeen, and Dundee United. Billy stretched his lead.
I was at two of them with him.
He played for Inverness as well, but they're not a current Scottish Premiership side, and I hate this, Billy, when they stretch their legs and show off a little bit. an unfortunate phrase. Peterhead is Balmoor. Did you lose there with Brecon? Is that how you remember?
That was one of my favourite ones, actually.
And Man City are through to the semis, of course. It was 2017 the last time Celtic played Inverness.
No.
You robbed yourself of the chance to go for the 10. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a 6, a 7, 3 in the end. Oh, 6-3, I think. Hard lines. Six. Oh, see that? Producer Chris is trying to rob you.
A 7, Chris.
He's correcting me in my ear saying it was only 6.
Use your fingers.
Seven. I knew it was right.
Aye.
Hard lines, Billy. Thanks for taking part.
Right, thank you.
Good man.
Cheers, Billy. Didn't want to hang about
words in the end, wasn't he?
I'm so good. The guard I put in that performance in front of the master.
Before, after, and indeed during. Beat the pundit as well. So,
I'm surprised he got some, aye.
No, he was alright, but you were just quicker.
Thanks. That was a solid performance, Roger. You impressed with that?
I'm very thanks. Impressed, yes.
See what happens very when impressed. I stand next to you instead of.
You raise Bale. Your standards.
Well, he just puts me off.
He does put you off. I must say.
See, I did years and years with him. That's why I close my eyes, so that I don't have him staring at me.
I bet
you're
not the only one
that
said that.
We're still talking about Beat the Pundit, though, yeah?
Yes, we are.
A few people saying that.
I mean, it just got me worried, I must admit. Right, 0-1-4-1.
I'm actually worried about how he does. Phil's think it's not Bath night. Bath night is definitely.
What is he doing a Monday night? We ever dug deeper at his Monday night routine?
I love. It's been a while since we had this theory. Jinky says that I upped my speed for the pundit. I always thought you did that, but you 100% do. A letter to the First Minister in the morning, says Jinky. Now, here's the thing, Jinky. Do you know why I can sleep easy at night? Because Roger Hanna always accuses me of going quicker for the listener. So you can't both be right. Is that fair?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. I always think you go quicker for the listener.
And
definitely.
I must admit, Jinky, Mark Wilson got about 5 more questions in. I don't know how. I certainly didn't manage to go that much quicker.
Quick. Enjoy your speed. Ample speed, Gordon. Well done. Still talking beat the
still
pundit.
Still talking about beat the pundit. 01419511025. Scott is in Govan. You're the first caller of the second hour, Scott. Now, the first hour was kicked off by a Rangers fan saying he was disgusted. How would you sum up how you felt after yesterday?
I'm not disgusted. I'm fuming still, but I'm disgusted. But Gordon, hi Gordon, Roger and Norsham.
Thanks, Scott.
See, before I get to my point, I was listening to the phone him and Michael phoned me back there. Who played me a game for Rangers? Because I said it was Diallo.
Yes, it was indeed. Well done. Right. You would have been competitive on Beat the Pundit. But what about yesterday, Scott?
Listen, I was on the show, obviously, on Friday, right? And I still stick by they should have drop somebody and bring on Scott Arfield for the start, right? I can come on for Pillman, but he should have started for me. But listen, somebody's done in Byway, right? But my biggest talk now is we've got nothing else to play for the rest of the season. And I agree with, well, I phoned in before Roger pointed this out. I agree with what Roger said. He should be drafting players now that's not going to be here. And he should be drafting players that's not even in the plans for next year. So last year we done it against Hearts, Tynecastle, and he brought on the young boys. And they made a great impact. And I was at, was my mate telling me yesterday, or reminded me yesterday, that we obviously one of the boys was Charlie McCann and we'd go and sell him. See, Morelos and Kent, they shouldn't get another game now. And I'm a big defender of Morelos, but the guy, the two of them, see the boy that came on earlier and saying the guys have got too much pressure. That's not right. These guys know they're not getting dropped for anybody else. They're not under pressure for anybody else. So why should they care that they're not going to be there next season? They should be.
Do you know what? I think there's something in Scott's point there, Roger, that kind of sums up a lot of where the Rangers fans are coming from, because he's annoyed about yesterday, but actually he's like, that's done, it's by with, and what on earth are we going to do for now to the end of the season? Yeah, and what do we do about this going forward?
And there are a lot of questions, you know, bouncing around the heads of Rangers fans after yesterday and after the season that they've had, and they want some, you know, some shoots of hope that things can be better next season. And with each new signing that comes in, there'll be a fresh shoot of hope. But also Rangers fans like Scott, they do want to know, you know, is Robbie McCrory going to be up to the task of fighting to be a Rangers goalie? They paid £4 or 5 million quid for Rid van Yilmaz. Is he going to be the answer at left back going forward? You know, what are Goldson and Suter like together? Does one of them need to be left footed? Nah, not necessarily for me. You know, is Yanis Hadji going to rediscover the form that he showed in the title winning season after that injury? What of Rabbi Matondo? Mark Wilson saying he saw flashes in him in the last two or three games that might indicate he could be the answer post Ryan Kent. And I think this is what Michael Beale should use these five games for, because there's Rangers fans already tonight irritated by some of the decisions that Michael Beale has taken. I think they'll be more irritated if he keeps picking the same team between now and the end of the season and doesn't give some of these younger, some of the fringe players an opportunity.
I mean, I'm mildly uncomfortable that we're already stealing what is bound to be one of our topics for later in the week, which is what changes should Rangers make this weekend. But don't let me stop Scott and Roger in their tracks. Mark Wilson, it does feel like, well, it was season defining yesterday. Everybody knew that. That was the difference. We spent all the last week talking about the pressure and what the different types of pressure meant for Rangers. Yes, you wanted to get to the cup final, of course, but it was about ending or continuing your season, really.
Yeah, and it ended yesterday, of course. So Michael Beale has to squeeze something out of a Rangers side for five games. And listen, they're big games in there. You know, starts with Aberdeen, then Celtic, then Hearts, is it, after that? So big games. And then I look at the bench and you're thinking Michael Beale has to use this time to learn something about the players who haven't been playing. I think Roger mentioned the majority there that I would agree with. So McCrory, you've got to play him now because you've got to test. But Suter, Yilmaz, Hadji, maybe come back, see how fit he is, and Matondo. But the other ones that are sitting on the bench, you already know what they can deliver. Guys like Wright and Arfield, Kamara, you know, Sakala, you already know what he can do. It's those ones who haven't played, he's got to play them.
Scott, would you not have played Kent and Morelos yesterday? Or do you accept that that still sort of had to be done? What was your feeling when you saw the team yesterday?
Now, Morelos had to be playing because we've not got another striker unless he goes for a false nine, right? But Kent could have been dropped. To the very word go, Kent could have been trapped because he was out for injury, and then you can see there he only lasted 45 minutes. The guys were saying Kent, he just didn't look on it. So why take a chance on him? He's got nothing to prove to the manager, so draft him.
As far as I can gather, Roger, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it was specifically asked of Michael Beale in the post-match press conference, because there were bigger fish to fry about, you know. Was Ryan Kent injured and that's why he came off at halftime, or was he hooked because he was ineffective? His one feels more, interesting than Morelos, because as Scott says, who else were you going to play? Morelos has been playing. Ryan Kent missed the last two games injured. It feels like there was a chance there. There was an out,
to not play him.
But Michael Beale, fair enough, I'm sure it was innocently thought that gave Rangers the best chance of winning. But again, it just did not happen.
It didn't happen, and that's a number of occasions we said to one of the callers earlier on. That's now, I think, the last nine games, six Celtic wins, couple of draws, that extra time win in the semi-final for Rangers last year. It seems a long time, even since Rangers have had the initiative in these games. You know, there was that spell in the second half at Ibrox at New Year after the two quick goals from Kent and Tavernier when Rangers led 2-1 before Kyogo equalised. That's about the only stage this season that Rangers have actually led in one of these games. And, you know, I know, I think it was Justin called earlier on to say, oh, you listen, it was really close, and you know, Celtic defended really well, and it could have gone the other way. But there's a pattern developing in these games, and it's not a pattern that reflects well on these current Rangers players.
So always, it's been hard to escape for months, Mark, is the numbers. And I get part of the counter-argument. People say, yeah, but don't get obsessed too much. Don't only pin Ryan Kent on scoring goals, because, you know, the runs he makes might take other people away and create space. And, you know, I've heard all that stuff before. You would still be looking for something better than six goals in 90 games between this season and last, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And what is it, three goals this season? Is it
three this season, three last? Yeah. Oh, 90 games.
Of course. I mean, when you play in a forward area for Rangers or Celtic, you need to deliver decent numbers. You should. And particularly when you've got the ability of Ryan Kent, of what you see when he is on his game, that has just faded. And the whole thing that Rangers rely on him too heavily, well, maybe they do, but they rely heavily on him because he's shown what he can do, but he's been way off. He may have been injured on Sunday, and that might have been the reason why Michael Beale didn't put him out for the second half. But regardless of that, I don't think he really deserved to be out there anyway. I said before the game, Alistair Johnson must be delighted when he comes up against Ryan Kent, because it looks like he's got his number right away. So he's went out in a whimper, and that's, you know, it's a poor way to end your Rangers career when he did have some, you know, highs in the European stage.
We've spoken about personnel changes, named players, fringe players who might come in, Mark. If there's going to be changes in the last five games, would you look, as a couple of Rangers callers have said in the last week, would you look at a change in formation? Do you think, you know, there's criticism of Tavernier, there's criticism of Barisic all the time for some of the goals that are lost. If they were, say, wing-backs and there's three centre-halves, you know, as a former defender, does that give Rangers a better chance of withstanding what Celtic do?
Yeah, it's a good call, but I don't think it's ever come into Michael Beale's thinking in these games, and I'm surprised at that, particularly when he's got John Souter there, and John Souter's played the last few games and he had that choice. Who do I put in? I think it was a viable option to put three in and go more solid and maybe play a different way, playing the counter attack, but chose not to. Same result.
Thank you very much to Scott Davies, a Celtic fan, and he's up next. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Mark Wilson are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. I'm going to bring Davey in first before I give you your full time teaser, because you've been hanging on for a while, and I feel like it'd be nice to Davey and Guruk tonight. So, Davey, take it away. What's your point?
Hi, everyone.
Hi,
David. I am the writer of the Tommy Burns story, which is a play that celebrates the life of the great man. It's a testament to how much he was loved that the play's coming back for a third run at the Kings this July. Not since Tommy have I loved and respected a Celtic manager as much as Ange. Not just the exciting football we've seen, but the way he handles himself with the press, with the fans. He came along to the first run of the show. There was a queue the whole way down the hall for selfies, and he just stayed all night, basically, if it wasn't for security pulling him away. He's just been an absolute breath of fresh air. And considering as well where the club was when he came in, you know, and to take it to where we are. So I suppose my two points are, or questions, is let's enjoy him while he's here. And I suppose the question for the plan, while he's there and Celtic have the financial dominance, do any of the panel see Rangers, you know, overturning the league? I mean, cups obviously can come down to one-off games, but the sheer dominance is there just now. Does any of the panel see Rangers coming back while he's there with the financial backing?
You just can never tell, Davey. You clearly do know all your history and all the background and what have you, so I'll take you back a couple of years. Rangers won the title, I think, on March the 7th that year. Celtic were in complete disarray. It was the season of Dubai, Bolly Bolingoli, Neil Lennon, John Kennedy had a spell in charge, and Rangers looked as if they were well set for a period of dominance. And Celtic found Ange Postecoglou. Ange Postecoglou went and bought Kyogo and Hatate and Abada and Jota and Carter Vickers, and I could go on and on and on, and seized the pendulum of power back off Rangers very quickly. He's now on the brink of winning 5 out of 6 domestic trophies, and it's Rangers that are in the kind of disarray that Celtic were in 2 years ago just now, when we were getting calls from Rangers supporters saying similar things to you're saying tonight. So it is hard to imagine that they will come roaring back the way Celtic did a couple of years ago. But the one thing we've found out in history will tell you in Glasgow is the pendulum can swing back quickly.
I think when you look at that as well, even if Rangers do have this massive rebuild and improve dramatically, it's hard to see the Celtic side regressing like the Rangers players have done. You know, the ones that won the league for Rangers in that year have all went backwards. When you look at the personnel at Celtic, they're all going one way. They're all, you know, progressing pretty nicely. If anything,
good age, a lot of them.
Good
as well,
age. If anything, the only way they'll lose them is if they sell them on. And when Ange Postecoglou's there, he's just got this kind of aura about him that you wouldn't expect standards to slip. But I agree with Davey. I think I've mentioned before, I cannot remember a connect between the Celtic fans like this for a long time, stretching back to when Tommy Burns was the manager. The parallels are there. But Roger's right. In this city, football changes so quickly, but I just can't see Celtic going backwards the way Rangers have.
I remember spells under Martin O'Neill, and even in that invincible season with Brendan Rodgers, where there was that huge connect as well, and particularly with the way Brendan departed, that was, you know, it ended not the way people would envisaged it ending. But I agree, the connect with Ange just now, you see him out in the pitch again yesterday celebrating with the players in front of the supporters. He is beloved by the Celtic fans, and it will just be, you never know when you're in the middle of a dynasty, you probably don't recognise it's a dynasty, if you know what I mean. But it'll be fascinating to see how long Ange stays at Celtic for and how much success he can bring to the club, because anyone who takes 5 out of 6 domestic trophies is doing a phenomenal job.
Davey?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually more nervous for Ange at the weekend, because I really, really wanted him to become one of the treble winners of the management, you know. And I think he deserves it. I think he thoroughly deserves it. Considering, again, the parallels are there. Tommy came in when the club was not doing so well, and vice versa. So, yeah, I really wanted him to come in. For me, it comes down to a huge part of its recruitment. And I just, even seeing the names linked with Rangers at the moment, I think they're shopping in a league where there's not as good value, quite frankly. And if they don't have the money, they're not going to get the same. Whereas I think casting the net wider will get better value for money. Some of the prices paid for some of the players that have come in from the Far East is you know, scandalously cheap. So for me, if you're shopping in the English Championship versus going out and casting and bringing in players from the Japanese league or, you know, the various leagues in the world, I think Michael Beale has gone in with one hand tied behind his back, if that's the only market he seemed to be going for, you know.
Thank you, Davey. That was Davey in Gourock on 0141 951 1025. Here is your full time teaser for tonight, and I like it, right? I really like it. We're going back a bit with Colin, who emailed in, and you know the drill by now, but in case you've never heard it, Colin sent this email to fulltime@clyde1.com. So you come up with the question, and the pundits try and come up with the answers. So Rangers played in the first ever Champions League group stage in 92-93. I suspect this is more aimed at Roger Hanna, Mark Wilson. Out of the 7 other teams, 5 players went on to later play in Scotland. Can you name them? So Rangers were one of eight teams in the first ever Champions League group stage. Of the seven other teams, there were five players who went on to later play in Scotland.
Basil Bolley.
Oh, he's stolen one off you, Roger, because he knows you'll get the harder ones. Give me one name.
Frank Sozzi.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave it there. You've not got two. You've only got five in total tonight. Roger. So you've
Great, only three more
to get. Bolley and Sozzi. Can you name the five players who did not play for Rangers but did play in the first ever Champions League group stage and later went on to play for Scotland? Basil Bolley, Marseille, went on to play for Rangers. Same team, Frank Sozzi, of course, went on to play for Hibs. So let's see if you can get the other three a bit later on in the show. Let's start. Let's hear from a couple of the managers from yesterday. What about Ange Postecoglou? He was getting lots of praise there from the previous caller.
Really proud of the group. You know, we had to earn it today, which, as you should, in a semi-final. And, we kind of knew what was at stake. And, Rangers, kind of, this was their last opportunity to sort of, gain some success as well. So we knew it was going to require all our facets of our game. And I thought we did that. You know, we played our football when we needed to. We defended really strongly when we needed to. And throughout it all, just underpinned by just the unbelievable work ethic this group of players has. And, they found a way to overcome the challenge again, and to credit to them. I mean, I get the narrative, we'll be lucky again, but that's all right. We just keep winning games of football, and I thought we defended really well. There was a lot of balls coming in the box, and I thought two set halves were outstanding. The work rate of our front players, days of my eight, was incredible, particularly in the first half. And like I said, you have to earn these things, and I was really pleased that this team showed that they can be resilient as well as play the football that we know we can.
What about Michael Beale then, talking about the future in particular and how Rangers fix this and start competing?
Some are fighting for their futures, obviously, and we have to play the games in front of us. It's a big weight and responsibility wearing the shirt for Rangers. It's a huge privilege as well. But I think it's also obvious that we're getting to the summer and there's going to be some change. If you haven't heard any news now around certain players, it would be amiss not to be keep asking the same questions, because if you don't hear anything then and people's contracts are running out, it probably gives you a good indication there's change in the air. So in the summer, there will be some fresh faces coming in. There'll be renewed energy, renewed ideas with some of the boys that we've got now, of course, and we'll have to do better, all of us.
Kent and Morelos who have made their last appearance for Rangers at
hand. Possibly, yeah.
Some quite revealing comments, Roger, from Michael Beale. I don't think it was in that clip, but the biggest summer rebuild in years. And then effectively confirming, am I wrong to stretch and say that Kent and Morelos won't be staying? I think people maybe knew that or felt that, but it's the first, open as Michael Beale's been on it.
If Rangers announce 5-year contracts for Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent in the next 48 hours, you better keep this show on to 10 o'clock every night this week, Gordon. It looks to me that they're both leaving the club. It looks to me that decisions have probably been made on the majority of players who are out of contract. You wouldn't really see Stephen Davis at 37 get a new deal. Phil Hylander hasn't played in a year. Scott Arfield's been in the periphery since Michael Beale came to the club. Alan McGregor's 41. The big decisions. Do Rangers activate the Tillman loan? For me, no.
You wouldn't pay the $5 million?
No. The other one is Ryan Jack. Now, when Ryan Jack's fit and playing, he's a very good player, and he would be in the Rangers starting 11. But are the Rangers able to agree a deal that's structured, that's going to be attractive to Rangers and attractive to Ryan Jack? It's going to be interesting. He's out again for another 3 or 4 weeks. He's missed Rangers' biggest game of the season again. So, do they give him another deal, knowing what they know about how many games he's played over the last few seasons? So big decisions to be made as well on, Barisic, a year to go. Do they let him run down his contract and go for nothing in a year's time? Kamara, not really been seen under Michael Beale. Hadji, nobody knows whether he's going to get back to the levels that he did before that cruciate injury, which was 15 months ago. Kemar Roof, hardly played this season. Tom Lawrence, hardly played this season. So you could find that, Michael Beale spoke about wanting five players in. Michael Beale might need double figures in the door at Rangers in the summer.
Would you pay £5 million for Malik Tillman, Mark?
I'm on the fence with this one. A couple of weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, when you see glimpses of him, you can see a real talent in there. And you think, yes, because you take into consideration his age, possible sell-on value of that, and what he delivers when he performs to the top of his game. The argument against it is £5 million, a lot of money. You really want a player who you can rely on in the big games. And that's the thing, in the big games against Celtic, he has disappeared. So when you spend that money, you're wanting some return on that level, and I don't think he's proved that. However, I'll cut him some slack. He's still young, he is talented. So I think that's one of Michael Beale's toughest decisions, because that's going to eat a big chunk of the money he's got to spend.
I think it's tough because I have absolutely no argument to put up in the sense of trying to say that Malik Tillman has done well in the Celtic games, but would you cut him any slack on the basis that right now, clearly, this Rangers team is nowhere near as good as that Celtic team, and therefore, in the head-to-heads, which Rangers players really have performed well? Would you be willing to assess what Malik Tillman might look like in a better Rangers team than this current one?
Yeah, well, like I say, you can see he's got ability. You can see when he's playing in a team that's dominating possession against the other teams in the league, that, yeah, he is the ones that breaks the lines. He will get you goals, he will get you assists. He can go by people, so the attributes are there. You can see that. The problem is against Celtic, they don't get as much possession, they don't get as much territory, they don't get into the final third as much as they do against other teams. And Tillman defensively has been asked to do a job against Celtic where I think that's the weakest part of his game.
He needs to do more. Now, Dyson Maeda or Malik Tillman, who's got the more skill, who's got more technical ability, who's fancier on the football? Probably you would say Malik Tillman, but he has had 1% of the influence in these fixtures that Dyson Maeda has had, because Dyson Maeda
has six lungs.
He puts in 100% more effort. Look, you know, Rangers made a wee slip in the opening minutes at Ibrox in the league game at New Year. Maeda sees it, burst forward, scored a goal. Yesterday, there was that moment, that split second of uncertainty in the Rangers' defence. Was that a free kick? Oh, what are we doing here? What's happening here? Dyson Maeda doesn't hang about, goes and takes the ball. What am I going to do with a ball? I'll tell you what, there's Jota, I'm going to put it on his head for the opening goal.
That's why you're here. I think that's a great point, because do you know what, see, when I looked back today, yesterday, I think everyone was caught up in how slow Rangers were. Yeah. But see, when that first happens, Maeda's miles away, relatively speaking.
You know, he puts in the effort, he puts in the hard yards. I would have more sympathy. You're asking Mark to cut Malik Tillman a bit of slack. I would have more sympathy for Malik Tillman if he was running about mad, trying to influence
type, though,
these
isn't he? I mean, if we're comparing someone's running,
for a different type, he's in the wrong type for this fixture.
But you can't compare anyone's running to Dyson Maeda's, really. He's the best at it, isn't he?
He's been influential. He's the one of that Celtic forward line you were talking about earlier on with Thomas Sicola. He's the one that probably doesn't get all the headlines, but he's always in the team.
Right, Graham, who's on the line, how do you sum up your feelings after yesterday?
Disappointed in that, but I'd like to cut Michael Beale a wee bit of slack, mate.
Okay.
He's came in there and that's been a shambles for him. Van Bronckhorst wasn't back properly in the summer, and he's dealing with players who don't want to be there. At least three of them don't want to be there, and five or six maybe not going to be there. It's a hard gig for him, mate. And I don't think, I'd like to ask the panel, what could he have done different when five players all switch off at the one time? What can he do about that?
I don't think as a manager at that specific time you can do anything. Your hands are tied, you've set your stall, your team started relatively well. There's certain incidences you can't do anything. But when Michael Beale walked in, I do agree with you, it's a shambles, but Michael Beale, why I don't cut him as much slack as probably Graham is, because he's had a relationship with a lot of these players. I think it should have been easier for him to get a tune out of the players than if another manager came from elsewhere. So I think he was already a couple of steps ahead of where he should have been. And I don't think it's worked like that. If anything, you know, it's stalled. It's got better against a lot of the teams in the league, but it's stalled when it's Celtic and it's Aberdeen and it's Celtic again. It's been a horrendous 10-day period for him, and that's defined his season.
Yeah, you can't argue with anyone. I said in the show a few times, you know, when people were giving Rangers, rightly, giving them credit for the performance at Tynecastle, the performance at Easter Road, etc., etc., that great comeback at Pittodrie when Arfield scored a couple of goals, this group of Rangers players will beat Hearts, Hibs and Aberdeen 9 times out of 10. And if that's what you want from a Rangers team, fantastic, fill your boots. But, you know, Rangers supporters like Graham want to see Rangers competing on a level footing with Celtic. And these Rangers players are not competing on a level footing with this Celtic team, haven't done so for some considerable period of time. That's what cost Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. And as I said at the top of the show, Michael Beale either needs to get rid of a raft of these players or they'll get rid of him.
What do you think, Graham? Because Mark agrees with you in terms of in that specific moment, Michael Beale can't do anything. But Mark's bigger point is he's meant to be a very good coach, and Mark thinks he should have got more out of the group generally. Is that fair?
I don't think it is, because he's coaching our other manager's players. They're not his players. He just coached them for Gerrard. Then when he came in, you don't know how they... We might not want to sit. He's just coaching guys. He's not bringing them in and talking to them, looking at them in the eye and saying, right, you're going to play for it. He's just coaching. Now he's a manager and he's looked at them and went, ah, it's not happening, mate. Just...
No, listen, you kind of have it both ways. When Michael Beale's taking credit for being part of that team who won the league and coached these players as the team that stopped Celtic and had control of Celtic at that time, you kind of then say, oh, listen, that's not his players. He was just a coach. He was a part of it. He'd had a relationship with the players. Players speak very highly of him. But then it's up to Michael Beale to take that further when he's given the manager job. Totally different role, I get it, but for me, should have done better with those.
Does that dynamic work in football? Coming back so soon as a manager and dealing with a lot of the players that you coached under Steven Gerrard. Now, it's different. You come down 5 or 6 years down the line and none of the same players are about. But a lot of these players at Rangers recognise Michael Beale as their coach. And then they had Steven Gerrard up there as manager. You go back to Celtic, Martin O'Neill at the game yesterday. Martin O'Neill, when he was sweeping everything in front of him, people used to joke he was never on the training ground. Steve Walford took the training.
Yeah.
And then Martin would come in and he was the manager who managed the players and everything that came with that. You know, when Martin left, if Steve Walford had become Celtic manager, no guarantees anything would have worked. So they went and got another big personality in Gordon Strachan. And you played under Gordon, he signed you know what happened then. He did quite a bit of the coaching.
He did it all. He did both roles.
Yeah.
He's a different character,
he was the manager. I just wonder, whether some of these players just now are thinking,
it's also a different time, isn't it? Because I get the relationship but time does pass. How many months ago then would Michael Beale have left Rangers the first time?
You're passing in November, 18 months.
Right, so yes, there's always a case that he should be able to do more, but quite simply, and take your pick, Morelos, Kent, Kamara, whoever, are they as good as they were 18 months ago?
No.
For whatever reason.
No.
So,
but they should be. They're different from Alan McGregor, who's 41, and a Steve Davis. Morelos and Kent are at an age where they should be hitting their peak and getting better.
Well, listen, but there are just loads of players who just don't keep going in an upward trajectory, aren't there? Just generally, for whatever reason.
I get that argument, but then my argument is Michael Beale should have recognised that.
Sure.
He shouldn't have hung his hat on him.
Yeah,
and he
enough.
Did.
Thank you, Graham. 01419511025. All right, it's an interesting question this tonight because we're not looking for many answers. Rangers played in the first ever Champions League group stages, 92-93. Out of the 7 other teams, there were 5 players who went on to later play in Scotland. Basil Bolly, Frank Sauzy, both came from Marseille to Rangers and Hibs, respectively. Give me one more name, Roger.
Joachim Bjorklund.
Why, oh, shown off for?
Gothenburg.
Wonderful.
Magnificent.
Who would have known
Gothenburg
were in the... Do you think Gordon Deal would have got that on a Tuesday or a
Thursday? Well, he would have when Roger texted him.
We were actually just trying to work out what the teams were. Rangers famously were in a group with Marseille, Club Bruges and CSKA Moscow. There wasn't an English team, because Rangers had knocked out Leeds United in the Battle of Britain, and there wasn't a German team.
So you would have had Rod Wallace, Noel Whelan, etc.
Yeah, and I think Leeds had knocked out Stuttgart, who were the German champions.
Okay.
It was a wee bit like Cali Thistle in Queen's Park, because Stuttgart actually put out Leeds and played an ineligible player.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that you've shown off how clever you are with all your background info, but if you need any more answers to these
names,
Jonas Stern.
No, we'll get the rest of them next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Mark Wilson are on the home straight tonight, which means there's still time to go over some talking points from the weekend, and maybe more importantly in their minds, trying to come up with the answers to this full time teaser. I'll look through that glass to see producer Chris eagerly typing away. He thinks he's actually found additional answers to this question, but we'll see. I trust Colin.
He's needing to eagerly shave. He's now looking like a young Brian Blessed.
Yes. Colin, who sent the question in, fulltime at Clyde1.com tonight. Out of the seven other teams who played in the first ever Champions League groups, so Rangers played, out of the seven other teams, five players later went on to play in Scotland. You've given me Basil Bolli and Frank Sauzé from Marseille, Bjorklund from Gothenburg went on to play for Rangers. I mean, on Colin's list, you've got two to get.
Go for it, Mark.
Van Vossen, one.
Now he's not. What makes you think that?
Because I suggested it and Roger said that's a good shout. Okay, go for it. So
we reckoned it was either PSV or Ajax. We think probably PSV. I think it was too early. Ajax won it in 95. The other name we thought going from PSV to Rangers was Arthur Newman.
Arthur Newman.
Yes,
well
Roger.
Done. So that was a team.
Was Van Vossen one?
No. Aye.
No. No. Oh, I feel redundant now. Okay.
Chris reckons he's found some bonus ones that are just going to blow your mind.
Oh,
but
goodness.
That's
me.
Annoying when that happens.
De Canio?
No, none of them, no. But anyway. Right, I'm going to stick with Colin's five, right? Because Colin sent the question in. But Chris reckons that Dimitri Karin, remember him?
Aye.
He played half a game for Club Bruges, apparently.
I tell you what, that's some research for Chris.
No, did he play for Club Bruges?
That's some of the best work he's done.
Well, on his Wikipedia, it doesn't look like he played for Club Bruges.
I take that back.
But anyway, don't worry. Let's just go for Collins five. I mean, it kind of changes. We've moved the goalposts a bit.
Who's the other one I said? Salenko? No.
Against Club Bruges it was. Sorry, against. Nope. Okay, listen, you've got one to get, as far as we know, before the end of the
It's your complete lack of confidence in this list.
Listen, we won't be far off. Don't you worry about that. Let's hear a bit more from Ange Postecoglou here, speaking about Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Yeah, he hasn't put a foot wrong since we signed him, and you know, him and Carl as a partnership, you know, I could be wrong, but I don't think it's still lost domestically. You know, they're an outstanding pair. They really work hard together, and Cameron as keeps growing as a player, as a leader within the group. That's his last game for us, so he'll get his he needs to get his injury looked at now, so you know that'll be it for him this season. You know, but he wanted to play today, sort of was trying to push for him to have it done a bit earlier, but I'm scared of him, so I just let him do what he wants. And he was keen on playing today, and he put in a performance that you know, befits his standing at our football club, and you know, it's a credit to him.
Mark, does that add an extra layer to how impressive Cameron Carter-Vickers has been and was yesterday?
Well, I think a lot of us knew that he was carrying an injury. I don't think we all knew the seriousness of it that it needed seen to now, and it was his choice to play on. I think Celtic fans will hold him in even higher regard knowing that, but seeing the performance he put in and how critical he was, because the back four yesterday for Celtic were outstanding, and he was the pick of the bunch. Such a presence in there, had the strength and pace to deal with Morelos, and positionally, every cross that came in, he seemed to be the man that was on top of it. So to bow out this season, after all the other performances he's put in, right enough, because he's been terrific all season, to bow out in that performance takes a lot of doing. And look, he will be missed for the remainder of the games. I do have sympathy for him because he won't be there to play in the cup final day, but he's certainly pulled his weight this season.
There's a lot of focus, understandably, on what Rangers do now and what they look like between now and the end of the season. But there'll be no Cameron Carter-Vickers, as confirmed by Ange Postecoglou, and presumably no Alistair Johnson either, despite his dance moves whilst holding crutches yesterday.
Yeah. I don't want to belittle anything. I don't think it'll make a huge deal of difference. You know, Celtic need one win out of the last five games, and I'm going to come all over all Hugh Keevans here. Celtic should win the Scottish Cup final with or without Cameron Carter-Vickers, I would imagine. I think Cali Thistle will give him a better game than Hugh might expect, but you would think Celtic would win. Anthony Nelson will come back in. Yuki Kobayashi will come in with Starfield moving to right centre back, where he probably looks more comfortable. But when we're talking about Carter Vickers, for me, the most salient point, I don't know whether you heard Chris Sutton after the game yesterday. Chris Sutton said, when Celtic signed Cameron Carter Vickers, he'd seen him once before, seen him playing a game for Spurs, and he said he was dreadful. And he thought, oh my goodness, what have Celtic done here? Even just signing this guy in loan, this guy's not the answer. And Cameron Carter Vickers has completely proven him wrong. He has dumbfounded everyone with the way he has developed, progressed, become a cornerstone, not only of the Celtic back four, but of the Celtic team. Regardless of the fact he won't play for the rest of the season, he will come into the argument and debate about Footballer of the Year, and he continues to improve season upon season. And you just wonder what his ceiling is, Gordon.
Right, let's try and get one more answer to this teaser. We're looking for the other players who didn't play for Rangers but did play in the first ever Champions League group stage and later played for Scotland. You've given me Newman, Bolly, Sozzi and Bjorklund. I've told you that producer, because we checked this, but producer Chris has worked ever so hard and he's found some bonus ones, we think, in Dimitri Karin and Stefan Lindqvist. Played six games for Motherwell.
Oh,
I know, so like, forget those, right? But there's one more.
Is it another Gothenburg win?
It's a, no, it's an absolute cracker.
A doozy.
And I love it. There's a reason in particular for
Kloss. That.
Nope.
Stefan Kloss, no. A Motherwell man.
PSV Eindhoven.
Yeah.
And Motherwell.
Mitchell van der Gag.
Mitchell van der Gag.
Who's now number two at Manchester United.
See?
Is he?
It's all there.
Eric Ten Hag's assistant.
Knowledge.
Yeah. What a man. Anyway, thank you Roger Hanna and Mark Wilson. That was extremely busy tonight on the phone, so thank you so much for getting in touch. We always appreciate it after the big games. And if you couldn't get through, do not worry, try it again tomorrow. We'd be delighted to have you. Andrew McLean's looking after you tomorrow alongside Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dale. I'll speak to you Wednesday night, but Callum Gallagher is up next.